You have your Bibles with you today. We're going to be in Mark's Gospel, the first eight verses of Mark's Gospel. Mark doesn't have a manger scene. He doesn't have a Christmas story. He starts with John the Baptist. We find these words in Scripture. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God, for which we can say, thanks be to God. Let's pray today. Gracious God, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Spirit. Speak to us once again your message of what repentance means and what the message is all about. Lord, be with this preacher this morning. Bless us all as we hear from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Messengers come in all shapes and sizes these days. A minister that I know tells of the time he was sitting with a family in a surgery waiting room late in the night. Their mother, their wife, their sister had been in a terrible accident, and she was having emergency surgery, so they had all gathered, and they were huddled in a corner of a waiting room. The surgeon came out and joined them in that corner, pulling up a chair, sitting in the midst of them, and she addressed them. It was a large family, and the surgery was an emergency. The surgeon spoke directly. She didn't hold anything back. She said, "Your wife, your mother, your sister came through the surgery just fine, but the next 24 hours are critical. They're very important." The doctor asked, "Are you people of faith?" And the daughter, who had become the family spokesman, said, "Yes, yes, yes, we go to church all the time. This is our pastor." And so the surgeon said, "Good. Pray for your wife, pray for your mother, pray for your sister. Get her on every prayer list that you can. Pastor, if you have a prayer team, give them a call tonight. Get them praying as quickly as you can." She says, "Our medicine, your prayers, our faith, and what I sense is a very strong spirit inside your mother will make all the difference working together." Now, I need to tell you, this story ends well, right? Otherwise, I probably wouldn't have told it. This story ends well. She made it. She came through surgery. She went to ICU. She went to rehab for a few days. But she fully recovered from her accident in that surgery. The surgeon, you see, was the messenger. And her message was twofold. One was, this is serious. And the second message was, a call to do something, in her case, to pray and to ask everyone that she knew to do the same. Messengers sometimes look like surgeons, right? Sometimes they look like children. Sometimes they look like teachers. Sometimes they look like pastors, right? Sometimes they look like good friends, and sometimes they look like this guy. Clarence Oddbody, AS2, Angel, Second Class. Today is the third of four Sundays in this sermon series that we're basing Scripture and, and messages from the movie It's a Wonderful Life. I've really enjoyed putting this sermon series together because this is my favorite movie. If you've not seen it, it will be on Christmas Eve nonstop, I've been told, on NBC. People have told me that they've watched it again or that they've watched it for the first time in a long time. I just love the sets and stuff, haven't you? I don't know if you noticed, but every week something's new and something's a little bit different. We have Mr. Potter's chair up here today. Let me remind you of where we've been. In the first sermon in the series, there's a picture that kind of pans, a scene that pans over Bedford Falls and goes up to the heavens where people are praying for George Bailey, right? His friends, his family, his community, all praying for him. I hope that you went home on that first Sunday knowing that praying for other people is important. The second sermon in the series, last week, we looked at how George never left Bedford Falls. He had a dream to see the world and to build things, and his dream is unrealized. Have you ever had an unrealized dream, something that you knew God was going to want you to do, and it just didn't quite happen? Well, it happened to George Bailey, and it may have happened to you, and guess what? It happened in the Bible, too. Joseph had all these plans when Mary came and said, hey, guess what? I'm pregnant. And it was a part of a bigger plan, right? God's plan. Today, I want us to look at Clarence Oddbody, the angel, the messenger, who was sent from God as a guardian angel to care for George. And because I think every sermon needs scripture, every sermon will have a scripture, we will also look at one of the most famous messengers in all the Bible, Jesus' cousin, John the Baptizer. Now, I will say this, finding a video clip for this week was a challenge. Not because I couldn't find one, but because which one would I choose? Clarence is in at least a third of the movie. By the way, my brother David, who asked me just parents pastor in Hot Springs several years ago, played the part. They had this play. David loves the arts, and he's in a lot of plays. He's directing one right now. And he played the part of Clarence Oddbody and Mr. Potter in the same production. You know why? Those two guys are never in the same scene together, right? Good and evil can't exist, right? So he played those two roles. But back to Clarence, here are some of his messages, right? God hears the prayers of people and sends help. You'll help get my wings. Help me get my wings, won't you? And George asks him how. Clarence answers, by letting me help you. That's one of his messages. Let me help you. There were other ones like this one. I love this one. No man is a failure who has friends. Last week, we thought about this message. Each man's life touches so many other lives. When he isn't around, he leaves an awfully big hole, doesn't he? He does. It's true. And I like this one, too. You see, George, you've really had a wonderful life. Don't you see what a mistake it would be to throw it away? Messengers sometimes look like this, and other times they look like this. That's John the Baptist. All four of the gospel writers include John the Baptizer in their story of Jesus. Mark describes him when he writes, now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Doesn't that sound appetizing? Right? Now, no one in his day dressed like that. Camel's hair, we're not talking about a jacket here. We're talking about camel's hair around him, leather belt around his waist, and eating locusts and wild honey. No one dressed like that in a very long time. And no one preached like he was preaching in a very long time. Mark wants to make sure that you see this. No one has dressed like that. No one has preached like that since the days of Elijah. Elijah, you remember, went up in a whirlwind. And it was believed that one day Elijah would return. John, of course, was not Elijah. But he looked like him. And he preached like him. He is the messenger. And part of his message is this: the one who's more powerful than I is coming. Get ready. And he says, to repent. That's his message, to repent. Now, normally, I would stop right here and I would tell you what repentance is and what you're supposed to do about it. But since I'm focusing on the messenger and the people today, I'll save that for next Christmas season. How about that? Can we think about John the Baptist for a moment? Can we think about all those who went out to listen to him for just a moment? Who are they? Why do they go out there to the wilderness? I mean, there were churches in town, right? Preachers in town, right? Priests. Why would they go out to listen to John? Who are they? I think I know. Their lives are in a mess. And they have heard that John has a remedy for that. If it were today, in today's language, we might say they've had a difficult year, right? We might say the diagnosis came, or the divorce happened, or the bad decisions went on and on, right? We might say they need a fresh start. In John's day, they go out in the wilderness and the River Jordan's waters to get it. Every year, I have someone say to me, I can't wait for this year to be over. Because something happened in 2025 that they just want that fresh start. There is the difference between 2025 and 2026 is 1 second. But we think that 1 second will make a difference, a new year. I want to go back a few days before the new year to where the baby is born. And I believe, don't you, that the baby can make a difference. Have any of y'all ever had a baby? You remember when the baby came? What a difference your life, how much your life changed. Now the baby's 19 and 24, right? But we think that a baby can change the world. Are y'all with me today? I believe the baby Jesus can change the world. Amen? Do you? I do. The people in the wilderness are like George Bailey on the bridge. They want their lives back. They want to live again. George, you remember, had the chance to see what his life would have been like if he had never been born. That was a gift that Clarence gave him. So he was able to see how his brother Harry would have died and how Mr. Gower would have poisoned the kid when he got the bad news about his son dying in the war. He would have never married Mary, and Mary wouldn't have married anybody, and so they wouldn't have had the 4 kids, and the people of Bedford Falls would have fallen prey to Pottersville. Pottersville, a horrible place, right? George goes back to the bridge where he first met Clarence, and he calls out to Clarence, and then he prays to God. I'd like for us to watch this 2-minute clip together. Let's watch it.
Get me back! Get me back! I don't care what happens to me! Get me back to my wife and kids! Help me, Clarence, please! Please! I want to live again! I want to live again! I want to live again! Please, God, let me live again!
Hey, George!
George! You all right? Hey, what's the matter?
Now get out of here, Bert, or I'll hit you again. Get out of here.
What the Sam Hill are you yelling for, George?
You... George. Bert, do you know me?
Know you? You kidding? I've been looking all over town trying to find you. I saw your car piled into that tree down there, and I thought maybe you... Hey, your mouth's bleeding. Are you sure you're all right?
What you... My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Zuzu's pedals! Zuzu! There they are! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas!
Merry! Merry! Yay!
I want to live again. I want to live again. Please, God, let me live again. I want you to notice that he reaches for Zuzu's pedals. That's one of the ways that he knows that he is alive again, Zuzu's pedals. So but before you leave today, on a table on that side of the worship space and on that side are Zuzu's pedals. You're encouraged to take one home and to read the message that is there, that everyone matters. This is the message for us this Christmas. No matter who the messenger is, or what the messenger looks like, next week we'll finish up this sermon series in what I believe is the most powerful scene in all the movie. I started crying when I watched this one. Just you wait till next week.